So we associate and observe. So you're here and getting to the unconscious competence level, utilizing the fundamentals, the four basics. Who do you listen to? Teachability index, training balance scale, and the four steps of learning information. This is the foundation. When we worked with our mentors, as I mentioned, in some cases, our mentors would give us books where we would begin to learn these concepts. And the books that we were given had emphasis on one of these four characteristics. Was the emphasis of the story, was the observations I was getting from the book focusing me on teachability index or training balance scale or the four steps or who do I listen to? It was given so that I would continue to focus on these four fundamentals. And obviously I was given books because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of these books. We were given books based on our need and our weakness. But every book always covered all of them with emphasis on one over the other. At the end of this class, you're going to be given books not from the societies because they are unavailable to you for multiple reasons. We couldn't grab them from the libraries and taken them with us. By the way, where are these libraries? A lot of people ask. And now that's what you're going to say, right? Yeah, where are the libraries? Right? Now, the libraries are in people's homes. They're not in the Skull and Bones building. They're not in the Illuminati building. They're not in the Brotherhood building. They're not in the Freemason buildings, no. This information, as I mentioned, is passed on through generations, through families, through people. And these books and libraries are actually physically in homes around the world. That's where the information is. And that's why it can't be taken out. So you're going to get the second best. You're going to get a list of other books, which myself and my colleagues have read and come close. Come close. So we're going to give you many of these tools when you leave. So we learned this information from, I mentioned, some lectures, some one-on-one conversations, books, and again by physically observing. So how would we do it in real life? Is the books were probably the main focus because that was something that we could do on our own. And then the physical observation, because we knew what members of society were members of our societies, we could observe them and we were given access. Although in many cases, not direct access. In some cases, only indirect access through our mentors, our teachers, our sponsors. Every group called these individuals different things. Sometimes one society calls your teacher the man, which is interesting because we use that, a lot of minorities in America use that in a very defamatory way. And that's really where it came from the secret societies, as the person who has power over you, in effect. But we observed, we looked, we were taught that we had to observe. And how were we trained? When I was with my mentor, or if I was observing another member of the society, sometimes I get a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hello? Hey, did you see so-and-so today do his such and such thing? Yeah. What did you observe? 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting the phone call. This was part of the training. This was part of the teaching. That's a little bit of the advantage of having that one-on-one person. But for you, you have these CDs. which we didn't have, by the way, because none of the stuff was recorded. Heaven forbid the stuff would be leaked out. So you have an advantage that we didn't have. Myself and my colleagues are putting together these CDs for you, for those here in the room, obviously, because when you leave, I know you're not going to get it all. That's why you're getting the CDs. And for the people at home listening to the CDs, you can listen to it over and over and over and over again, and you're virtually going to have a catalog of CD material and books that you can use as your material, which will be incredibly powerful at learning this information, integrating it, and getting to unconscious competence. But why do I spend so much time again on this foundational material? I was with a Shaolin monk. Some people may have watched the TV show, an American version of the show, actually an American series, TV series called Kung Fu back in the 70s with David Carradine. Kung Fu was about a Shaolin monk from the Shaolin Temple in China, which is a real place, thousands of years old. And this particular TV series was about David Carradine. His character was named Kwai Chang Kane. He was a Shaolin monk. A Shaolin monk at the time was a Buddhist monk who was trained in the martial arts of Kung Fu, Tai Chi, Qigong, Wusu, and other martial arts. The Shaolin Temple was actually the birthplace of all martial arts in the world. The Shaolin monks, before they were martial artists, were peaceful meditating monks. Unfortunately, because they were peaceful meditating monks, bandits would come in, beat up the monks, kill the monks, and steal from the monks. The monks got a little tired of this, so they decided to go out and find some warriors that they could hire to protect them. So they send out monks east, west, north, and south to find warriors who could defend the Shaolin Temple. When the monks returned, they brought back warriors from the east, west, north, and south, as far as India, Japan, and different provinces in China. Before this time, the warriors or the fighters around the world only were trained and were taught and knew of the fighting techniques of their particular region. So each one of these warriors that returned to the Shaolin Temple, each had a unique and quite different fighting style. This was the first time in history where all these fighting styles, experts in these various fighting styles, got together and met each other and began to share their techniques with one another.